In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, from God, Amen. كل سنة وحضراتكم طيبين بمناسبة عيد الغطاس. And it's a special feast, of course. يعني زي ما أبونا اتكلم امبارح, that we celebrate every year, we celebrate the blessings that were bestowed upon us because of the Lord's baptism. So today we'll talk about the subject. It's family, of course, related, and it's about a house founded on the rock. The Lord Christ spoke to us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 about the teachings of the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of it, he brought to us this metaphor that it is not enough for us to listen and to hear and to know, but at the end of the day, what will make the difference is if we are going to apply what we heard or not. We hear sermons every day, and this does not make us, just by hearing, the Christian people that God desires for us to be. So he said that there are two kinds of people: those who are going to listen and not to do, and those who are going to listen and apply. And those who will listen and apply, they would look like a person who built his house on a rock. The winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Something very important for all of us to observe, that the most significant element in the well-being of our children is the stability of the house. I gave this analogy before. Imagine that you are traveling in an aeroplane, and then the aeroplane is going through turbulence. Something is shaken. And then you imagine that's going to be just like air turbulence, but you look and you find the pilot and the co-pilot are fighting with one another and beating one another out of the cockpit. How would you feel? It's scary, just the sense that the aeroplane is not safe, because those who are in charge are fighting with one another is something that definitely no one of us would like to experience, and absolutely this is not something good that we communicate to our children. So this is what we are going to talk about today, how our houses would be stable. We'll talk today about two issues. The first one is the common winds, and the second one is what are the principles of the solid ground that we want all of us and our children to enjoy, feeling and knowing that they are raised and they are growing in a house that's stable, is going to last, is going to continue to the end of time. What are the common winds? Actually, the winds are the true test of how stable this house is. What do I mean by this? We all can build. It is easy. And you can see houses here and there. But which one of them is built on a rock and which one is built on the sand? Who will make the test? The test will be made by a storm, by a strong wind that's going to test this house and find how it is built and how its foundation is. So this is something we should expect. Winds will always blow. And that's why sometimes we stumble when we feel like, okay, our other families are doing great, except us. But again, we all look the same from outside. The real test is when this family or this house is exposed to strong winds. Of course, there is always the possibilities of the unknown, yet there are some expected winds. They usually come against each an individual house. What are these common winds that we all are exposed to? For example, the factor of aging and loss of attraction between the husband and wife, sense of familiarity and boredom. Most of the people, they marry and they are excited about each other at the beginning, but few months, maybe few years, and then this sense of familiarity creeps in, and then we feel like, okay, I know the person now very well, I am not excited anymore. The factor of aging and people are changing, this is not exactly the person that I married maybe 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. And this sense of boredom makes the house, in a way, is exposed to the wind. Adding to this, something like middle age crisis. People in a certain time, they long to the time when they were young and they were attractive. And, there was something about their energy. So all of these again makes some kind of sense of turbulence inside the house. Of course, as I said, these winds, they differ in their impact between house and another, but again, they are common winds that they come against every single house. In middle age crisis, people, as I said, they long for the time when they were young. So that's why you find people in their mid-40s or 50s looking, trying to look younger and so obsessed about how they look, either males or females. And even the way they are dressed, buying things are new. And part of this temptation of the middle of or the crisis is maybe finding another love, another passion. And they find the person in his maybe 60s in the community and divorcing his wife and marrying someone in her 30s just to make him feel like he's still appealing and still attractive to others. It's common winds, even if it doesn't go that far into affairs, but still it hits when people are coming into this age and experience this kind of crisis. Outside temptation is another kind of winds. It can go up to a storm. We are all working our workplations and we have relation with the other sex. And this is something that, again, with the sense of boredom at home, maybe some kind of trouble here and there, someone is speaking to us nicely, and we regain the memory of the old, good old days, then this might bring some trouble to the house. This might be a wind that passes and goes away, or it can lead to the destruction of the house based on how strong this house is and how it is founded. Another common wind that comes on every house is children's choices and when they grow. And sometimes we assume that we raised our children a certain way and they come to their teenage period and we find that they are choosing things we never imagined, or they act in a certain way that we are not expecting this to happen. This brings a great deal of stress on the house, on the parents. And of course, this again, one kind of wind might expose the structure of the house, how we raised them in the first place. And they tell us more than anybody else, what did we do when they were young? Our children, they expose so much the foundation of the house. Was it built on sand or was it built on a rock? Personal weaknesses, something that's common among all of us, that we can go into any kind of a weakness that can be shown, any kind of things. I don't want to name any person might have any kind of weakness, but how we deal with it. Again, this is a kind of storm that can also shake the house. Another common wind, of course, this is for people who have children who are at the time to leave the house. They look around and there is nobody. Maybe some people, they cover the sense of losing purpose by saying, I'm living for my children. But what if the children are not living with them anymore? They are on their own, independent, leading their own lives. At that time, the people will feel like we lost purpose because simply this marriage from the beginning was not functioning, was not going well, and we covered it by putting all of our attention and focus on the children. And when the children are not in the house, then here there is an issue, a problem. And people come even after 20, 30 years of marriage and saying, I cannot live here anymore. What happened? Again, the issue is the purpose that I was living for and is not anymore. So these are common winds. And I said, there are more, of course, storms that can come to any household, but these kind of winds, they expose to us what kind of foundation we use to build our houses upon. Let us go into seven principles of solid ground that we all should be mindful with while we are raising our children, we are keeping our house in order for this house to be stable, to endure the winds and the storm, and to continue until we meet with Christ. The first principle of a solid ground is the clear goal. Maybe this is not very clear at the beginning, but usually this should evolve over time. What do I mean? It is seldom when you ask somebody at the beginning of the marriage, why did you marry? And you say, I married to glorify God. Usually we marry because it's time to marry, because I love this person, because I need to make a family, because I need to be stable in my life, because I need in a way to build like my own household. All of these are not bad goals, but they are not enough to sustain the house. The only thing that really is going to shape everything is when we develop this kind of purpose. I have this house in order for this house to be a church to glorify Christ, not only through the people who live in it, but through everyone even coming to this house or going out. Once we get into this goal, everything accordingly will be lined up in order to reach this purpose. What we do, what we say, what is allowed in the house, what is not allowed. Easy when we have a goal that if Christ is to be glorified, we will do it. If he is going to be in a way, people will criticize him, seeing this is how his children are doing, then we are going to refrain from doing this. This is a very important thing we start with, developing the purpose of living to glorify the Lord the Christ, setting our eyes on him at all times. And as we will see, this will settle many issues in the house. If we have to do this or not, if this is acceptable or not, if this is something really important for us or not, it's based on this goal. This is to glorify Christ or not. Of course, before we glorify him in terms of prayers and all of these kinds of activities, the first thing that glorifies Christ is our life of repentance, the life of service. When me and my household, we will live to serve God. This is why we are here. And our children grow in an atmosphere that's mindful with the idea that we are to look after the need of others. That's why we are here. That's why God made us a family in order for us to serve others. It makes a huge difference for our children to feel like they are servants even from young age. They will grow to take their positions in the church to serve God's people. This is why we have this family. This is why God founded this household. So this is number one purpose, principle of solid ground, to have a clear goal. So as I spoke before about the wind of the emptiness, when the children are out, the house is not going to be shaken. Why? Because the same purpose exists. I will still live, me and my wife, to glorify God by serving him, by life of repentance, by life of prayers. It doesn't matter if we are two or three or four, this is great. Knowing and trusting that even the children who left will glorify God outside in their communities, among their peers, and also when they start a new family. Even if we do not marry for this purpose, over time we should come to this. We are a family that set apart in order to serve God and glorify his name through prayers, through repentance, and through the life of service. The second principle of solid ground is developing the mind of Christ, thinking like him. And again, this is what St. Paul instructed the Corinthians. It's important for us to come one day into the mind of Christ. It doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen just today, because when we will leave from here, maybe you are moved with the Spirit of God to say, I'm going to develop the mind of Christ tonight. It happens with a life of perseverance in prayers and in fasting and all of these kind of activities, knowing that God is right. Whatever he says is the right way. If we are still, in a way, thinking that we have to go sometimes with the mind of Christ, sometimes with the mind of the world, we will never, never develop the mind of Christ. Because in Christ there is no division. In the mind of Christ there is no time, an hour for your heart and an hour for your God, as we say it in Egypt. It is not there. The mind of Christ is something that's consistently thinking like, liking what Christ like and despising what Christ would refrain from doing. This is the mind of Christ that we want for us and for our children to develop. So the closeness of the family to the Bible will make this as the reference, meaning In any dispute in the family, how usually we resolve it? There is only one way that we will all agree that the Bible is the reference. Then simply, whoever has the right point will tell others, you know, the Bible says this, and everyone will yield to it simply because we all want to do what is in the mind of Christ. Why there are many debates about authority? Who should be leading? Who should be giving the last decision? Why many conflicts, they go unresolved? Simply because of this. Because the Bible is not the only reference in the house. There are many different opinions. And you find that this person, in a way, he thinks in a secular way. And this person is more liberal. This person is more of the culture here living in the States. Another person is more mindful of the culture of Egypt. All of these kind of mindsets say one thing, that we are not yet living with the mind of Christ. Once we get there, this is again will give stability to the house. Even a fifth grader can bring to them saying, this is what the Bible is saying, and this is enough. This should be the final saying, what the Bible says. Unfortunately, this is one thing that is missing, that the family is close to the Bible, knowing what is in the commandment and willing to live up to it. Again, I go back into the common temptation about we live 90% of the time with what the Bible says, but in another 10%, we do it on our own. Again, imagine you are in an aeroplane and the pilot says, I go with the manual 90% of the time. And 10% of the time, I just want to go on an adventure. I just fly the aeroplane as I see it entertaining or interesting. This is very dangerous. And this 10% time by itself will make the whole place to be not safe. To develop the mind of Christ means to favor the heavenly wisdom. There is wisdom for this world that we live in, called the earthly wisdom. And St. James spoke about the difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Sometimes you find a debate, for example, between a child and his parents about dating. And the parents wants to be perceived as modern or up to date, or they are cool by their daughter. And they try to get something like between what the Bible says and what the world says. So they come and say, you know what, you can know the boy, but you don't get close to each other. And again, going with this kind of a mindset, trying to get something in the middle, doesn't get us anywhere. It gets us actually into the world with a sense of the whole thing is about what? It's about how we look, how we want to gain the satisfaction and the pleasure of the children. It's not about really, again, glorifying Christ as we spoke before. There is nothing called a liberal mindset or a liberal opinion and a conservative. There is a Christian way and there is anything else. There is a biblical way and there is anything else. There is nothing called we can go into parties and we can drink and dance, but not to get drunk and not to be exposed. Again, the whole idea, it is something liberal. The question is, can you do this in the church? Would it be okay? For example, you got to come to the hall on Sunday and you find a movie and you find like, okay, today we have a party. We're celebrating the Epiphany. People are dancing in the church and just like drinking. It will never happen. If you come and see this in the church, what will happen? You will leave offended. Why? Because you feel like it's not fitting. It shouldn't happen. If it shouldn't happen in the church, what is the difference between this hall and the hall at your home or any other of our homes? It is the same. Your home is an extension of the church. What is not fitting here should not be fitting there as well. Favoring the heavenly wisdom is a sign of I got into the mind of Christ and I am comfortable with it. The idea again of going between here and there, we can allow them this, but not allow that. Again, this is very dangerous. If we are to develop the mind of Christ that's going to bring our homes to stability, we should not mind to incur losses for the privilege of knowing the Lord Christ. What I mean by losses, upsetting your children sometimes by saying, no, this does not fit. What's going to happen? Nothing. The idea of like, I have to share, and then the pressure that the children to do their parents, and their parents, they tremble just because the child said to them, all of my friends are doing this and I cannot do it. What's the big deal? So what? What's going to happen? Nothing. Isn't this what we are called actually to live by? We are in a way to live in the world, to serve it, but not to be conformed to the world. This is a command in the Bible. We should not be intimidated or feel like we are not good parents just because sometimes we have to say no to our children or to our friends. I cannot share in this, even if I'm going to lose this friend or even make my son or my daughter upset for a while. We are loving parents. By default, by being Christians, we know how to sacrifice and give abundantly to our children. It shouldn't be a big deal when we come and say, we cannot share in this. Yes, this is a loss from your perspective, but we are okay with it. You cannot live as a Christian person thinking that you can have it all. You can work it with Christ and the church and work it with the world outside and make the children happy. They go to the prom and they dance outside, they date, and they come to the church and they are enjoying their lessons. It is not going to work this way. We have to make our choices clear, and our mindset is what Christ would approve. Sometimes when the kids keep asking, I will go to the place, but I'm not going to dance. I'm just going to watch. And I ask this person, would you expect St. Mary to be there among the girls? If you imagine that you are living in her time, and this is the time now for this party or celebration, would you think St. Mary will be there? If the answer is no, it's not fitting for her, then what is the difference between you and her? You are her daughter, should be imitating her example. So the second principle of a solid ground is you have one mind, it's not divided, it's not between here and there, it is not between Christ and anybody else, not between the church and the world, it is the mind of Christ. The third principle of solid ground is to have one faith. When we adopt a certain faith, we live by this faith, what this faith dictates. Again, the idea about having something that's not very clear and hazy when it comes to faith. Like, for example, we go to St. Mary or whatever, any church on Sunday, and we go to another church that teach another faith on another day and say it's just for activity. Here is the issue. If this is a church and this is a church and this is a church, and for us, they are all equal, even if they are teaching different principles. Then if another church, for example, has the service for 30 minutes and says, once saved, always saved, you will be saved once you accept Christ. It is instant, once and for all. Why anyone would come to an Orthodox church and standing for 3 hours in the liturgy, and then you ask him to fast, and once the fast ends, then we have another fast, and then another fast. Why anyone is going to do this? What is the motive? If I have the option to go to another church that teaches me another faith, which is Christian as well, and then everything is solved, then what? And then we bring our children and make them to wander here and there, and then later when they come and say, I do not want to go to my church, I do not want to stand the all liturgy, it's boring, then we come and say to the church, why that liturgy is so long? Why can't you do something about it to make it shorter? As if like the church has to go into what you taught to your children and adapt to them in order to satisfy them by sitting or standing for 30 minutes and be happy. If we have one faith, it is one faith. We live by this faith and we define it as this is what we inherited. This is what the apostles taught us. If you have doubt about your faith, something for you to investigate and to settle on. If you are to choose this, choose it and go with it. If you are to choose another one, Pick it and live with it. Moving between faiths will make your kids confused. And this is a stumbling block for them. Why? This is a church and this is a church. Why should I go here if I can go there and get the same blessing with a, maybe a service that's shorter and no fasting at all? The significance of the one faith is when we will stand and pray at home, we will all praying in the same way, holding the same igbeah, looking towards the east. You might think that this is something that's what a big deal. You will know it's a big deal when you teach your children that's like anything goes, and then you go home and you try to pray. Which way you are going to pray? Are we going to pray as our mother church taught us, or as other church? Which way we are going to look at? Something simple that can enhance the unity is to have one faith we worship God with versus that we have multiple versions. And under the pretense of being loving and tolerant, then we go into this kind of confusion. Another thing also, having one faith, is to understand the dynamics of the relationships with the church and within the church. Meaning, our relationship with the church should not be optional. Meaning, let me give you an example. We all understand that the church is like the ark that Noah built. I always say this. Imagine the neighbor of Sam's family. You know, children of Noah, Sam, Ham, and Japheth. The neighbor of Sam's family, she doesn't like Sam's wife. She has issues with her. And then she says, I'm not going to get in the ark. I don't like Sam's wife. What do you think of this lady? Foolish. Why? Because what is the other option? The other option is what? You swim in the flood, it's not going to happen. But sometimes, unfortunately, we think this way. I go to the church for the people, and I leave it for the same reason. And this here, I am greatly mistaken if I think this way. My relationship with the church is not something optional. And again, it's not like choosing between a grocery store. I like this or I like that. I like HEB or I like Kroger. It's not this way. It is my church where I have the faith. Maybe the people are not the nicest. Maybe are not the most friendly. Maybe they are nosy. They get into other people's business. Maybe anything. But at the end of the day, I go to the church for the truth. And the truth is the prize. I come here because this church teaches me what I believe is the truth. If you don't believe this is the truth, it's okay. Find where the truth is and be loyal to it. Nothing else. Nothing more and nothing less. It is the only factor that should bring us to any kind of a church. I believe this church holds the truth and it is very valuable. And I will going to fight to stay within this church that I believe teach me the biblical truth. Sadly, in the days we live today, the truth is not so much valuable. It's all about friendship, about being nice, about find good group. A child can change his church just because he doesn't like the people around him or he feels like he is not liked by them. One time I asked a family who decided to leave the church and going to another denomination altogether. And I asked them, do you believe the other denomination teaches you the truth? They say, about Christ, not everything, but most of the things they teach, they're Christians. And I asked them, if you have two schools, and one school is a good school, but unfortunately the children there are not very nice, and it's not a very high standard school, but they teach what is right. In another school, they still teach that the earth is flat. Would you still get your child to this school because the people are nice and the teachers are better in a way how they talk to the children? The answer was definitely no, there is no way I can do this. The first thing I bring my children to a school is to be educated in the right way. Have to understand this. The truth is what we and our children should be looking for whenever we are choosing a church or a faith. Having one faith, it's very clear in the mind of the parents. This will give stability to the house. I didn't speak about Orthodox faith. I speak about having one faith. If you find it in another church, of course, I wouldn't يعني, encourage you to do that. But again, having one face is something that you will gain out of it. The fourth principle of a solid ground is to develop into the kind of love that's the mature form of it. We all start our marriages with this excitement and the thrill about another person. This is not mature. It is okay to start with, but this is not going to take you far. I'm interested in the space, and Malek knows this, and yani talk with him one time. I will ask him to give us a presentation about the space. So whenever you find there is a rocket going to the space, at the beginning this rocket leaves the Earth by burning a lot of fuel, but later on you don't see this kind of burning of fuels all through. It just get them out from the atmosphere, and then this kind of spaceship moves with another dynamic until it reaches destination. And even this kind of burning fuel takes a shorter time, but most of the time the spaceship moves with another kind of dynamic. What is here that what I want to say? We start marriages with burning this kind of fuel and this passion that people marry because they love one another, which is good and it's fine. But you do not expect that your marriage will continue for 30 years or 40 or maybe more until you reach final destination, just burning the fuel of excitement and passion. It doesn't happen this way. And that's why when people think that we will always be excited about each other, they're imagining that this kind of fuel will continue forever, will take them for a journey for 40 years and above. This is not the case. It shouldn't be that our mindset. So what kind of dynamic that will take the rocket beyond the phase of passion and burning the fuel of love, of being excited? Number one, the love that gives priority to unity. What do I mean by this? If we have a debate in the house about anything, here there are two things to choose between. Either I continue in the struggle and in the hassle, or I say, okay, is it worth to endanger unity in the house just because of this kind of debate? Is it worth it? I lose my peace and I go into a fight because of something like this. When we come to the time when we always choose unity, choose peace in the house. I'm not, of course, speaking about things that are so dangerous, but most of the time, most of the issues and conflicts, they are not really worth that we lose unity. This is the mature love that favor and choose unity above anything else. I will just, okay, choose peace and it's fine. I'm not upset here, this issue. It's not a big deal. Because at the end of the day, coming to an end of a day when we are in peace is more important than anything else. Mature love also has or establishes the principles of forgiveness. Forgiveness that we all enjoy. How many times you came to the church to confess and Abuna said to you, your numbers of forgiveness are over? Never. Why? Because forgiveness of Christ is always extended and given. So this is one of the things that that says love is growing to be mature, that we can forgive and we let go. And we close and burn the old files that he did and she did. And whenever we have an issue, we keep on opening things as if like this file will never close. Applying the principles of forgiveness says that the couple grew to become like loving each other in a mature way, in a Christ-like way. Another also characteristic of mature love is this love look for or after the well-being of the other person. If he's okay and she's okay, then I am successful. My satisfaction comes from knowing that he is happy. Do we think this way or we're still not yet? Remembering the good qualities and acts of sacrifice of my spouse. Do I have a file in my mind that says This person endured with me all of these days and years. This person took all of my weakness upon her or upon him, lived with me still. Or do I feel or I think that I am the perfect package? The other person is so lucky to live with me and I had enough. When we say I had enough, actually we are not remembering what the other person took in order for this kind of family to continue. Again, once we come to the level of maturity, I will be mindful more of my weakness and more of the sacrifice of the other person. Mature love has more of you and less of me. At the beginning of marriage, we always look at my rights, my feelings, my family, my territory, my money, my part, and it's all about my part, as if like we are going in a partnership. We're going in a certain kind of a company. In a company, there are rights, and of course, there are obligations. But in a family that's growing in love, there is more of you and less of me. Once we get there, things are going to be stable. The house will be strong, simply because everyone is looking after each other's well-being. The fifth principle of solid ground is showing utmost respect. This is a foundation that cannot be compromised. All of these, by the way, you cannot compromise any and you have a stable house or house founded on the rock at the end. Showing utmost respect in words while addressing one another and in actions as well. And here, even if we are not there, even if we transgressed this rule, we have to put a stop to any kind of insult and humiliation. And we have to start showing respect towards one another. It's not fitting for any Christian house that people will be abusive verbally or in action in any way or any mean. This is something that should not be tolerated by any of us, even with our little children. There is a difference between being firm and being disrespectful. Showing respect makes the house stable. Respect is not only to the character, but also to differences, abilities, and limitations, relationships. If my wife has a special relationship with her father, or my husband has a special relationship with his mother, this should be respected. It should not be a part of, or a like subject of, for criticism, and saying, I'm not doing this. It's not because not you are doing this. It has to be applied universally. Because you have your own weakness as well. Respect the relationships of the other person and how he wants to deal with them. Even the weakness, it is very troubling when we, living with one another, we come at a time of a conflict and I start reproaching you because of your weakness. This means exactly that I am hurting you under the belt because I know what can hurt you. There is no way a house can be stable while we are using the weakness of one another in any kind of fight. To show utmost respect, justice, and fair treatment should be something that we live with day by day. What applies on me applies on you. There is no room for I grant certain privileges to myself or to my family simply because I am the man or I am the woman or for whatever reason or because I am the one who bring income to the family. All kinds of these statements should not be said. Justice and fair treatment. Everybody has the same right. If you define this kind of behavior as not acceptable for others, not acceptable for you. If I give myself something, I have also to be able to give it to the other partner. This is how respect is to be built, how the house is to be founded on the rock. Utmost respect also is shown in the commitments we give to one another. You know, there's a story in Jeremiah chapter 35. I like this story very much. It's about the house of somebody called Nadab the Rechabite. God told Jeremiah, invite the household of the Rechabites. Nadab already passed away. So God asked Jeremiah to bring his children to the house of God, and to invite them to drink, have a drink together. Jeremiah did, invited the Rechabites and he offered them to drink wine. So what did they tell him? They told Jeremiah, no, we are not going to drink, because our father, Nadab, told us not to drink wine. This father is not living with them, and this father passed away, and drinking wine was not a sin in any way in the Old Testament. But because their father said so, it's enough. It's a story of utmost respect to a commitment that children make it to their father. We will follow your guidance, your economy. We are not going to do anything different than what you taught us. Very impressive how this man brought this family into this kind of respect to the commandment. I am sure that he himself, Nadab, was a man of also of respect, a man who kept his commitments. He respected others, and that's why when even after he passed away, still his family honored him and kept what he taught them. Something that we all hope that one day will happen in our household as well. The sixth principle of the solid ground is the sound principles. A house that holds on a principle holds on the principle at all times. It's not when we feel like. It's not when we are in the community of the church that I hold on a principle and outside I do something else. So between what is said and what is actually done, it's not what we preach to our children that will make them feel stable. It is what they see us doing at home. So if we say something and do something else, then the principle is shaken. Once the principles are shaken, the whole house now also is subject to this kind of like turbulence. What is the image inside and outside the house? Our children, they see us how we act in the church, and they see us how we act at home. You do not hear sometimes when the children come and confess, and they say things that's very troubling. They themselves are troubled and say, my parents are doing this at home, and they do this at the church. I'm not saying this so you discourage your kids from confessing. Sometimes, يعني, this is what will happen. ما تروحش لابونا بقى ومش عايزين فضايح. It's not like this, but it is actually a call for us, especially if we, in a way, we are keeping a certain image or assuming a certain responsibility at the church. If you are a servant, you are a servant everywhere. If you are a Christian, you are a Christian everywhere. The people that actually should enjoy the best quality of you is your family. It cannot be that Baba is so decent, nice, and kind, and loving, and patient outside, and once he at home, it's another image. This is not a sound principle. Again, the consistent choice. For example, if I were a family who observe a fast, and now it's time of the fast of the apostles. Usually it comes in the summer, and we are leaving, going somewhere, and then we decided as a family, we're not going to fast, simply because we are on vacation. So what does it say? Here, the message is, once you are on a vacation, you can take vacation from God. And you can take vacation from the principle that you used to live by. Something like this, actually, again, will make everything, it's being consistent all the time. If we're fasting, if we pray, if we do this and that, we do it at all time consistently. Sound principles also in being secure in whom we are. We are Christians and we are Orthodox and we observe the commandment of God this way. We are so proud to be like that. Do we feel this when we tell our children, no, we cannot share in this? Or we feel like we are cornered and troubled when the children come and say, my friends at school are doing this. Is this how we find security? Just to be conformed to other people around us and feeling like we are like others? Or we are secure in our identity? I am Christian. I belong to Christ. I am raised in the Orthodox Church with all of its values and principles that were taught since the beginning of Christianity till now. I take pride in this, and this pride is communicated to my children. I can definitely tell them, no, we are not going to do it, and feel proud that you are not sharing. Or I go back and say, don't overcomplicate things. Don't make it, the kids feel different. هيبقى شكلهم وحش. هيتعقدوا. هيكرهوا الكنيسة. Who said that? Again, being secure in whom we are is part of the sound principles that makes the ground to be steady under them. The last factor in the principle of solid ground is to keep and maintain and strive always for personal integrity. We all have our weaknesses. That's why we repent. That's why we come and confess and we try. But again, this is the goal before our eyes, that we are to be people of integrity at all times. Even if I make a mistake as a dad or a mom, and I go back and I say, you know, my children, I was wrong about that. This is not going to make them feel less secure. On the contrary, they will know that dad or mom is a person of integrity. He can admit fault. He can come back and say, I'm sorry. And again, this is something that will make them feel safe, make the house to be stable. The commitment is for this integrity, as St. Paul calls the Corinthians, saying, therefore, having these promises that we have from God, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is what we are after, perfecting holiness. It's very sad when we are, in a way, working against perfecting holiness and telling our families that it should not be as much perfect, because this is, in a way, will make us to lose the enjoyment of life. This is not what we are called for. We cannot perfect holiness unless we cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh. We strive for this. We try. Even if we fail, we keep trying over and over and over. We all want our house to be stable. We all want our children to feel like they are growing in a safe atmosphere. The biggest danger for our children is not schools or the community or colleges. It is home. If home is stable, the kids will be, most of the time, they are okay. Most of the time, because I know there are some exceptions. But if the house is still debating itself, which kind of foundation I'm going to use? Am I going to build on that or this? What are the choices we make? Then we are the ones who are confusing them. We are the ones who are making them feel like everything goes. I can choose anything based on the circumstances, where I am and what I want. And at the end of the day, God will be okay with anything. May the Lord to grant all of us houses that are stable, are strong, founded on a rock, to make Him at all times to be glorified. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.